God. Amen. But God. Amen. Tell your neighbor, but God. Amen. Won't he do it? Amen. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man. All women ain't good for you, by the way. You may think they all good for you, but there are some women ain't good for you. Because the text says you're a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken. Why? See, today we don't take marriage vows very seriously. Today we think we could just get out of a covenant relationship that God has put us in. Today, marriage is not being upheld as it should. Some people think that they can get in and get out whenever they feel like it. Or if something is not going my way, or we claim abuse, we claim adultery, we claim abandonment. But let me tell you something about God when it comes down to marriage. God takes marriage seriously. I believe God takes marriage more seriously than we do. Do I have a witness? And so we find in our passage where we are today. You say, man, was he in my house last night? Nope, God was. And he knows exactly what you need. My message is not targeted as an individual. It is here by divine, hallelujah, by divine design, that God has sent a messenger today to share with you that there is a God and he's real. But we've been talking about leaving the will of God. Abraham left the will of God. Abraham, the man of faith, Abraham, the man who was called by God, went when God called him. Now he's in a predicament. I told you last week that when you leave the will of God, amen, it is a dangerous thing. It is important that wherever God places you, you stay there until you get a divine word from the Lord. Sometimes we move by emotions. Sometimes we move by what we see and not what it is. Do I have anybody? God gave Abraham free will. He gave him free will. And yet, even in that, amen, we see that he still did not use his free will for God's glory. May I ask you a question? How are you using your free will? Are you using your free will to bring God glory? Now, you do have a choice now. Now, can I say this? Out of the will of God, whenever you step out of the will of God, I told you last week, there are things that you will end up doing, things that you will do that God did not tell you to do. Do I have a witness? I told you last week we are willing to compromise when we leave the will of God. I told you we're willing to lie to save ourselves. Come on and help me, somebody. I told you that we have fear of man. Some of you are so scared to lose your job, you won't tell them that you need to worship on Sunday. You won't tell them that, listen, I need to be there on Wednesday. You won't tell them that Friday is the day of prayer. Do I have anybody? When you're out of the will of God, the things of God are not important anymore. And even your promises to God are not important also. And so we find today that here is what I love about God. Even though he's given us free will and we mess it up, God steps in. Oh, come on and help me, somebody. Just when I messed it up, God made it up. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you're not alone? That even when you mess stuff up, there's a God. Sometimes we think we know everything. Sometimes we think we know what's best for us. But you know what I love about my God? You know what I love about serving Jesus Christ? Is that he knows everything. Listen, don't play around, y'all. Listen, if you're saved, if you're sanctified, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you got to know something, that God can step into your plans and he can disrupt your plans, but also God can save you from destroying yourself. Amen. The text says, but God. Tell your neighbor, but God. Oh, I could finish that statement a lot of different ways. Being rich in mercy, because of his great love for me, sent his son Jesus to Calvary. But God, I should have been dead and in my grave. But God. Oh, I wish I had somebody. The devil should have taken me out a long time ago. But God. I could have woke up this morning discouraged because of my situation, but God. Anybody want to help me finish it with your personal testimony? But God delivered me from cancer. Oh, I wish I had a few people. But God, hey, I was driving on these dangerous highways. But God gave me traveling grace. I could have lost my mind again, but God. Do I have anybody? You see, it's interesting to me that even in Abraham's treachery, but God. The text. When you look at it, you see God's divine intervention stopping you. You ever wanted to mess up? Anybody? And matter of fact, you were heading to the strip club. You wanted to mess up. I thought I'd wake y'all up. Strip club, wait a minute. Who's it? What did he say, strip club? How about just the club? The one around the corner here, that there'd be the pool hall around here. Around that corner. What's the name of that pool hall around that corner right there? That one right there. You ever want to mess up? And you get to drinking and ain't nothing happening. Because you've been drinking so much that you can't mess up. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. I'm saying, like, you trying to drink yourself under the table, but ain't nothing happen. Well, let me bring it closer. You ever try to smoke that weed? And ain't nothing happening. Tell your neighbor, divine intervention. You try to mess up, but you can't. What kind of nonsense is that? God knows, doesn't he? Doesn't he know? You try to mess up, but yet, because God says you are mine. And sometimes you may not feel that way. Sometimes you may not feel like, you know, you're saved and sanctified and feel because of the pressure of life. But here, Abraham, but God. I can't go no further than that, but God. Now, interesting thing. Abraham lied about his wife. They moved to Gerar. I mean, come on, dude. Like, and you know, she was a submissive wife too, because she's like, she just went along with it. She just went along with it. Amen. But check this out. Check this out. The text says, Abimelech. God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night. Listen to this. Here it is, a pagan king. Now you need to know something. Whenever you enter the city gates of a town in Israel at this time, the first thing they noticed was the women. Now, out of all the women that came in there with Abraham, why did they pick Sarah? She's about 75. She still look good. Girl had it going on. She didn't need no Louis or Gucci or makeup or lipstick or eyelashes or eyebrows or teethus. She had all her teeth. Girl was fine. You know, I think God made women like that. Seriously, like irresistible. She was that kind of woman, like Sister Hunt, you know. Irresistible. Just, Y'all following me? See, I say to women all the time, y'all don't even know how powerful you are. It's not about your outward beauty, it's about your inner beauty. So I'm assuming Sarah fine, because Abimelech didn't know nothing about her. But Sarah, you know, she had a little ratchetness in her from earlier. You know, when she suggested, but she was just like a woman. Go ahead and do it and then get mad that you did it. How you gonna tell me to do it and then get mad that I did do it? Did you think I wasn't gonna do it? Who wouldn't give up? Lord have mercy, especially if you endorsing it, right? Hagar, that was an endorsed arrangement. Amen. But check this out. Abimelech didn't know what he was getting involved in. It's interesting to me that God came to him in a dream. Now listen, when you leave the will of God, yes, you qualify for divine intervention, but the first thing you need to know is this. You ready? You ready for this? I hope you, this wasn't just a dream, this was a bad dream. So the first thing you need to do is this. Don't ignore God's warnings. Now let me help you with something for you dreamers right quick. Okay, now everything you dream, it ain't real. All right, so quit putting stock in dreams. But some things God will warn you through. But the main thing that God will warn you through today is through his word. Kind of like when you came here, you're like, dang, what is he talking about? How he know? Amen. Listen, don't ignore God's warnings. Abimelech, watch this. Listen, God can warn us any way he feel like it. Any way he feels like it. Don't put too much superstition or superstitious thought into bad dreams. Amen. But know this, that it's possible that God can warn you through them. Are you following me? All right. Don't go get no book and you want your dream number and all this other stuff that's out there in the world. But what I am saying to you, I wouldn't put it past God. May I ask you a question? Has God been trying to warn you? How much and how long? Amen. And so oftentimes when we leave the will of God, God will send his warning because you're his child. Just like a child leaving the path, why would God not step in even though we're stubborn? But the reason they're in this predicament is because Abraham refuses to stay in the will of God. Saints, people out here searching for this, and they're searching for the better church, or they're searching for the better ministry, or they're searching for whatever they're searching for. And oftentimes what you're looking for is right in front of you. Are you with me? But see, here's the thing. It's either you want candy or you want caviar. There's a difference. The question is, which price are you willing to pay? And you can't get no knockoffs either. God steps in, and watch what he does. He says, but God what? What did he do? He came. How does God come to a pagan in a dream? Because at this particular time, watch this, they are pagans, so that's what they believe in. So God has to come to them the way that they understand. May I ask you a question? How has God been coming to you? Has he been sending messengers? Has he been speaking through the word of God to you? Can I help you with this? Don't ignore God's. Second part of this text says what? He said, behold. I mean, you know, God is like, you know, everywhere I see God, you know, he wasn't as blunt. Huh? You hear me? He was what? You are a what? You ready? Write this down. Don't take God's word for granted. Listen. If he says you're dead, he was already a dead man. He's a dead man because, watch this. Now, this was Abraham's fault. Now, next week, I'm going to show you the play on words. But see, with God, I'm not saying that when we mess up, that God is really endorsing our mess ups. But what I am saying, that we're just like sheep. That's what I'm saying. And sometimes, you ready? I'm going to say it in a nice way. In a kind way. We do some dumb stuff. As sheep, sometimes we do stuff that shows our true nature. My question is, when life gets hard, why do we have to move? Why can't we sit still? Why can't we hunker down? Why can't we pray together? Why can't we fast? Come on, church. Things get hard and we just want to throw away. The first thing we want to throw away is the church. First thing we want to do is say, I ain't going to church. So who are you hurting? Seriously. Don't take God's word for granted. Listen, he was a pagan. What did he know about the true and living God? See, there are times as believers we take God's message, you ready? And his messenger for granted. And guess what? We miss what the Lord is trying to do for us. And we entertain things that could potentially harm us, things that can affect us emotionally, spiritually, morally, and yet in spite of, we take God's word. We got so many Bibles, but we don't read it. Oh, boy, it got quiet up in here. Earlier, what I was talking about, weed and alcohol. And lipstick. Come on, say amen. Come on, help me now. The text says, you a dead man. Aren't you glad God will stand up for you? Now, watch the text. God didn't just tell him he was a dead man. He told him why. Let's look at the why. He said, because of the woman. I tell guys all the time, all money ain't good money. Are you following me? Be careful. I'm not going to say what I said before, but I'm going to tell you, be careful, because all women ain't for you, especially if you're married. Now watch this. The text says, because of the woman whom you have taken. He didn't know who he was messing with. But you know what's crazy? How come Sarah didn't know who she was? How come Abraham didn't know? How come Abraham didn't know who he was? Are you following me? And I want to say this to you today, is that when you don't know who you are, then guess what? You will live your life just as a common person. But if any man be in Christ, so my next point is this, don't forget who you are in Christ. Life may get tough, but it's not self-esteem. Come on and help me, somebody. It's God confidence. You got to be confident that he who began a good work in you. See, what we got to do is take off this worldly labels and put what God says about you. You are who he says you are. You are a child of the king. Come on, somebody. You've been crucified with him. And sometimes you may not feel that way. But here's the thing. When you forget who you are, you'll settle for everything. Don't forget who you are in Christ. See, she didn't know. She didn't. Sarah, you're working on beauty, girl, but really you're blessed. You will become the mother of the promise. Come on, Abraham. What are you doing? You trusted God before. Why aren't you trusting him now? This is what gets me about this. Why are you out of the will of God? Listen, sometimes the will of God may be the hardest place for you, but it's the best place for you. Listen, when they left the first time, listen, first of all, this is the second time they done did this. My thing is, didn't you learn from the first time? Some lessons we just got to keep repeating. Why? Why do we have to keep repeating it? Is it because we're not trusting God? Is it because we've gotten away, or we thought we'd gotten away with it? What's holding us from staying in his will? Sometimes it gets tough living this Christian life. But what you got to do as a believer is you got to believe that God has saved you. He has called you. He has a prayer. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is my purpose? Really, truly, what is my purpose? And my only purpose on earth, come on, help me, somebody, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a dying world. Isn't that all of our purpose? Did he not save us to share the good news? Did he not save us, hallelujah, from a life that we, hallelujah, that we were going down? Come on and help me, somebody. Aren't you glad that he saved you? Aren't you glad that he sanctified you? I'm saying, how is it that our walk becomes so stagnated? See, that's what the problem was with Abraham. He was so uncomfortable and so unsettled that he could not stay where God put him. There are people moving around, place to place, place to place, place to place, place to place, and they're still not satisfied. But if you stay in the will of God long enough, you know what God starts doing for you? He starts stripping you down. And then he'll build you up. See, you're not the potter. I wish I had a few people up in here. You are the clay. And the moment you start thinking that you are the potter, that this is your life, that you're orchestrating everything, God will show you very quickly. You ain't running nothing, because I know where to hit you. Your bank account, your car, your job. Oh, I'm going to hit you where it hurts. I'm going to hit you where what you love the most. Don't forget. And you know what divine intervention is about? Watch this. It's not about destruction. It's about discipline. But here God is disciplining this pagan. But you got to check out the last piece of this verse and I'm done. The text says, you ready? You sure? It says, because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is what? She's what? She's what? In a culture where marriage means nothing anymore. Where folk think they just could have partners. Marriage is God's idea, by the way. And if you haven't checked in the book of Malachi, Malachi, he was Italian. Malachi says this, and God's word doesn't change, does it? See, here's the thing. Your marriage gets tough and you want to leave. That's coward. That's weak. Yeah, that's what I said. Because you made a promise to God. Malachi says, I am God and I hate divorce. Whatever God hates, I don't want to do it. So yeah, it gets tough. Sister Hunt can't stand me sometimes. Oh yeah, me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Me. This guy. Come on, help me somebody. Yeah, man. Sometimes she's like, man, oh Lord Jesus. This guy. Come on and help me somebody. But the one thing that we have that's holding us together is Jesus Christ. Second thing we have is that we made a promise to God. Till death, you better hear me. Till death. And so guess what? It may not be good all the time, but I've had more good days than I've had bad days. Are you following me? And some of you who don't put no price, who have no value for marriage, I want to warn you from God's word that God upholds the institution of marriage and he's serious about it. So yeah, you may have married a fool, but guess what? If you change your attitude, oh, I wish I had a few people up in here. I'm going to say it one more time. If you change your attitude, you get on your knees, and you pray, 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 and you pray. God, in due time, can take a fool and make him into something good. God can take someone, anyone, and transform their lives. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. My last point, don't make a mistake you will regret forever. Adultery is a sin that can cause you to forfeit the kingdom. Are you with me? God, here this scripture shows us how God feels about a man sleeping with a married woman. For real. So if you married, you should see one person. Stop the foolishness. I'm not with the, oh, you and I could be together and I could be looking at somebody. I ain't into all that. I don't even look. Because if I look, see, they don't want this kind of stuff. The world don't want this. They don't want this kind of church. They don't want this kind of teaching. You know why? Because it will make you upset. But it's truth. And if truth makes you mad, then you in trouble. Listen to me. God shows you that a man cannot take a married woman and make her his. Can't do it. I don't care who you are. You can be Abimelech, you can be Tupac. It don't make no difference. You know what he says? You're a dead man. You want to mess? Now it's deeper because she's linked to the promise, but she's a woman. And God says, leave that alone. Listen. I don't understand. God stepped in to protect both Abraham, Sarah, and Abimelech. Remember what I said earlier, how it don't go right? You're on your way to do bad stuff. And you get a flat tire. And then the flat tire is flat. And then the spare tire is flat. And then you can't get one of the lug nuts out. Ask me how I know. Feet swift to evil. But guess what? Ain't nothing working right. Turn your butt around and go on back home and sit down in that house and shut your mouth and be at peace. And don't give me no buts. But you don't understand, he difficult. You don't understand this, he just, you don't understand, well, what about you? Oh, let me get you innocent, huh? You're a sinner. Okay? And some of your wretchedness show up. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I didn't target you today. You came here today to hear a word, didn't you? Out of all the Sundays, you chose to come to church. You chose to come to church today, knowing you're wrong. But God says, listen, don't let your moment of passion cause you to sin against God. You know, this is a good lesson for married people. You know, this is a good lesson for married people to keep your vows. If God is going to kill a man, what you think he going to do to you today when you commit adultery? Because you've been thinking about it. Because homeboy been wooing in your ear. He ain't got nothing but emotion. Oh, she. Because she listened. Oh, well, my wife don't listen, so because you listen, bro. Go home and talk to the one that you are in covenant with. Amen. You know what 1 Corinthians 6:9 says? Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, or homosexuals will enter the kingdom of heaven. When the Bible says he will guide you in all truth, that's a way of saying the Holy Spirit will be the steering wheel of your life. There are two ways to get to a destination. One way is to look at the map and figure it out yourself. The other way is to have someone drive you who already knows where he's going. Can I help you with something? God will divinely intervene because he knows where he's going. Put your life in the hands of the one who knows where he's going.